Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, verses 143 through 146. So I'll read through 143 to 145 and we'll do 146 together. So verse, text 143.
Shringara Rasa Raja Maya Murti Dhara Ateva Atma Paryanta Sarvachitahara.
Krishna is all attractive for devotees in all mellows because he is the personification of the conjugal mellow. Krishna is attractive not only to all the devotees but to himself as well. Text 144. I will just read the translation. My dear friends, just see how Sri Krishna is enjoying the season of spring. With the gopis embracing each of his limbs, he is like amorous love personified. With his transcendental pastimes, he enlivens all the gopis and the entire creation. With his soft, bluish black arms and legs, which resemble blue lotus flowers, he has created a festival for Cupid. Purport: this is a verse from the Gita Govinda, 1:11.
Lakshmi Kantadi Avatarera Hare Mana Lakshmi Adi Nari Ganera Karya Karshana.
He also attracts Narayan, who is the incarnation of Sankarshan and the husband of the goddess of fortune. He attracts not only Narayan, but also all women headed by the goddess of fortune, the consort of Narayan. Text 146, and then we'll do this together. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, so it'll be that meter.
Dijatmajame yuvayo dirdikshuna mayo panita bhuvi dharma guptaye mayo panita bhuvi dharma guptaye kala Kalavatirna avaner bharashuran Kalavatirna avaner bharashuran Hatveha bhuyas tvarayetam antima antime Hatveha bhuyas tvarayetam antime Dvijatma jame yuvayo dridikshuna Mayopanita bhuvidharma guptaye kalavatira navavaner bharashuran hatveya bhuyas tvarayetam antime.
Please chant. Sure.
Vijatma jame yuvayo dirikshuna
The sons of the Brahmana.
May
by me.
Yuvayo
of both of you.
Didrikshuna,
desiring the sight.
Maya
by me.
Upanita
brought.
Bhuvi
in the world.
Dharma Guptaye,
for the protection of religious principles.
Kala,
with all potencies.
Avatarino,
who descended.
Avane,
of the world.
Bhara Asuran,
the heavy load of demons.
Hatva,
having killed.
Iha,
here in the spiritual world.
Bhuya,
again.
Twaraya,
very soon.
Itam,
please come back.
Anti,
near.
Me,
me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Addressing Krishna and Arjuna, Lord Mahavishnu, the Mahapurusha, said, I wanted to see both of you, and therefore I have brought the sons of the Brahmana here. Both of you have appeared in the material world to re-establish religious principles, and you have both appeared here with all your potencies. After killing all the demons, please quickly return to the spiritual world. Maybe we can say it all together. Addressing Krishna and Lord Mahavishnu, the Mahapurusha said, I wanted to see both of you, and therefore I have brought the sons of the Brahmana here. Both of you have appeared in the material world to re-establish religious principles, and you have both appeared here with all your potencies. After killing all the demons, please quickly return to the spiritual world. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.89.58 concerning Krishna's endeavor to take Arjuna beyond the material universe when Arjuna was searching for the sons of a Brahmana. Lord Mahavishnu, who is situated beyond this material world, was also attracted by the bodily features of Krishna. Mahavishnu had actually stolen the sons of the Brahmana in Dwarka so that Krishna and Arjuna could come visit him. This verse is quoted to show that Krishna is so attractive that he attracts Mahavishnu. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha. Offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master who has opened my eyes which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance. The torchlight of knowledge. Vanchakalpatu Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayivach Patita Nam Pavani Vyo Shri Shri Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Shri Gadadha Shri Vasadhi Gaur Bhakta Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are continuing to read the talks between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai. And Ramananda Rai is currently speaking on Krishna Tattva. And in the past few verses, he has been describing the all-attractive feature of Krishna. Krishna is so attractive. So starting, I think it was verse 139, that Krishna, he started saying that Krishna is so attractive that he attracts Cupid. And in today's verses, the four or five verses that we have read, we see that Krishna is being described, that Krishna is attractive. He's very attractive to the devotees. And he's also attractive to himself. He's so attractive that he's attracted even to himself. And then the next verse talks about Krishna being attracted to the gopis, which we have been listening so much in the Srimad Bhagavatam verses that we are currently doing, the discussion on the gopis and how they are so attracted to Krishna. And then Krishna is attracting Lord Narayan, who in most of the material world is actually thinking, or at least people who know something about the Vedic literature, they think Narayan, Lord Narayan is the most, he's the supreme. And here is described that Lord Narayan is attracted to Krishna, and the goddess Fortune is so much attracted to Krishna, Lakshmi Devi. And finally, the last verse of today, that he's Mahavishnu is so attracted to Krishna that he actually did this whole pastime was set up that Krishna would come to see Mahavishnu because the Brahmana in Dwarka, many of his sons, actually nine of his sons, were immediately after birth, they were just dying. So this is a whole pastime. So I'll talk most of the, in today's class I will discuss that, this last verse. But just to kind of talk about how, you know, Krishna being all attractive, Srila Prabhupada actually from the very beginning told us the word Krishna means one who is all attractive. And in the previous verse, verse 142, Krishna is actually, this verse quoted from Nectar of Devotion, Krishna is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Krishna is the reservoir of all of the, he's a reservoir of all, reservoir of all pleasure, and in which the mellows of all devotional services are in Krishna. And also, he's that transcendental form of attraction that all kinds of devotees, either they're in the Samtyaras, Dasyaras, Vatsalyaras, or Madhuryaras, they're all being attracted to Krishna. Akhila Rasamrita Murti. First verse of Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami is describing Krishna like that. And this, despite Krishna being all attractive, pure devotional service actually attracts Krishna. So we can, described that pure devotional service, it means, is actually transcendentally stronger than Krishna himself. And the reason being that pure devotional service is actually Krishna's internal potency. And there was a very beautiful verse in which Prabhupada gave a 4 or 5 page purport, verse 139. I thought I'll read a little bit from that verse because it's very much connected to today's discussion of how Krishna is attractive and attracting everyone, even Cupid. That was the verse, that he's attractive to everyone. Indeed, Krishna is known as the all-attractive one. So I'll read some part of the purport in which Prabhupada is saying that one should engage in transcendental worship in order to be fit for being attracted by Krishna, the all-attractive. Just to become fit to be attracted by Krishna, we need to engage in this process of devotional service, which Srila Prabhupada so mercifully brought to the West, brought to all of us, so that we can start becoming attracted. Attractive to Krishna and attracted by Krishna. And actually, Krishna's qualities are, if we are attracted to one quality of Krishna or we are attracted to many qualities of Krishna, it's non-different than being attracted to Krishna, because Krishna and his qualities are non-different. So in this further in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, since every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna is naturally attractive. Due to the material covering, one's attraction for Krishna is checked. One is usually not one is not usually attracted by Krishna in the material world, but as soon as one is liberated from material conditioning, he is naturally attracted. Therefore, it is said in this verse, Sarva Chitta Akarshaka. Everyone is naturally attracted by Krishna. This attraction is within everyone's heart. So it's lying dormant in everyone's heart, this attraction to Krishna. And when the heart is cleansed by the process of chanting Hare Krishna, that attraction is manifested. Cheto Darpan Marjanam Bhav Mahadavardini Nirvapanam. So we can continue to be attracted by the qualities of Krishna, and just by continuing this process, which is so beautiful, chanting the holy name of Krishna, and we are finding day by day our attraction to Krishna has increased. And as Keshava Prabhu was just reading, that even if we have so many other responsibilities, management wise or our own other, which are not related to Krishna conscious activities, but otherwise just to maintain our body and soul together, but we continue the process of chanting. Continue the process of chanting Hare Krishna, and it might be that sometimes we are not chanting very attentively, and once in a while we might be chanting attentively, and sooner or later the mind will relish that mellow so much that our heart will constantly be connected with Krishna. In whatever endeavor we are performing, whatever we are doing, we are constantly chanting and constantly thinking of Krishna because of that training that we are giving our mind to always let our mind go to Krishna in whatever situation we are in. So many, many things will be given to us, many, many responsibilities will be given to us. And I remember once one devotee was saying, he was saying to Srila Prabhupada that I'm driving a truck all day long and I don't have time to chant, what do I do? Srila Prabhupada said, okay, while you're driving, just chant. Just keep chanting. And however, it was not a sanction that we just drive and chant, because it is of course inattentive, but at least if you have no other option than chant while you're driving, that means chant for the sake of your japa, that you're chanting in lieu of your japa. But on a regular basis, we might not want to continue doing that, because we need to understand that that is not the most attentive form of chanting, because our attention is so much in the driving. We have to pay full attention to driving. We have to pay full attention to the road. So if we are not paying attention to Krishna, then we are paying attention to the road. And if you're paying attention to the road, we are not paying attention to Krishna. So we have to understand. This is something which I'm just preaching to myself, because I know that sometimes I'm saying, oh, I don't have time. Okay, as I'm driving to the temple, I'll chant a little bit. That'll be one round. Huh? And it is not recommended. And because we want Krishna to be attracted to us, we want to be attracted to Krishna, and the only way is that we continue doing our sadhana bhakti in a very, very attentive and in a very focused manner. And here we see now in this verse 146 today, that Mahavishnu, Lord Mahavishnu, who is actually the one who is created this whole material universe, and he is the one from whom Shirodakshaya Vishnu is emanating, and the three guna avatars are emanating from them from further on. And he is so attracted to, actually, if we just read this verse by itself, it doesn't really tell us much. We would be confused. All on a sudden, why is Ramananda Rai talking about Krishna being all attractive, and all on a sudden he's mentioning this pastime of the Brahmanas? Only by reading Srila Prabhupada's purport, we can understand, oh, Lord Mahavishnu is so attracted to Krishna that he's making this whole pastime so that Krishna would actually come. He would steal the sons of the Brahmana, and then Mahavishnu will be able to come and have darshan of Krishna. And this is actually from the very end of the 10th canto. And this pastime occurred way before the Mahabharata, way before the battle of Kurukshetra was fought. Yet this is being spoken of here at the end of the 10th chapter, where Krishna's most confidential pastimes were discussed. And this is being discussed here. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that It is discussed in the general heading of Krishna's glories to once again recap that Krishna is the most supreme. Because right before this pastime is discussed in the 10th canto, the story of Bhrigu Muni is being discussed. So, you know the story of Bhrigu Muni, that the sages sent him to find out which of the three deities of this world, Brahma, Vishnu or Shiva, which of them is supreme. So what happened? Can somebody tell me what happened when he went to see Lord Brahma? Prabhu? Mother? Anybody wants to share what happened when Bhrigu Muni went to see Lord Brahma? He did not offer his obeisances, yes. And Brahma became very offended. Even though it is described as a mental offense. And Lord Brahma became very agitated and upset and he chastised Bhrigu Muni that he did not offer him pranam. That was a mental offense. And then he went to Lord Shiva. And then what happened when he went to Lord Shiva? Yes, Prabhuji? He did not embrace him. And he also started saying to him, he did not embrace him and then he started saying stuff. What did he start saying to him?
He said, "You're covered with ashes.
You're covered with ashes. You're living with all these goblins and ghosts and you're a heretic." So it was a verbal offense. And of course, Lord Shiva was totally surprised and he also felt offended that, why is my brother speaking to me like this? All of a sudden, he's speaking to me like this. So it was a verbal offense. And he became very upset and angry. And then he went to Lord Vishnu. And there what happened? Yes, Prabhu. Adadamodar Prabhu. He just went there and he kicked him on the chest. So this was like first was a mental offense, a verbal offense, and now it was a bodily offense. He actually was physically offending Lord Vishnu. And what did Lord Vishnu say? Yes, he immediately touched his feet and he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? My chest is so hard. And you must have gotten hurt." And Radha Damodar Prabhu, were you going to say something else?
Same thing.
But he also said that, now the goddess of Lakshmi, who's always situated, wants to sit at my, situated in my heart. It would be a nicer place for her to sit. Because now that your feet have touched my chest. And that's when Bhrigu Muni said, "Wow, Lord Vishnu is the most supreme." So he went back and reported, "Lord Vishnu is the most supreme." And as soon as this pastime has been discussed or narrated, Parikshit Maharaj, Sukhdev Goswami now just goes on to this pastime of the Brahmanas, sons being dying after birth, and that. And this is to establish, as we will see, to establish that even Lord Vishnu is so attracted to Krishna, and that Krishna's position is the most supreme, even above Lord Vishnu. So that's how this pastime just goes directly into the next pastime, in which Brahmana is, he has first son died, and he took the dead son to Maharaj Ugrasena's court, and he put the body outside and he was lamenting, "What is this? In the presence of the father, the son is dying." So he was very, very sad and very, very upset. And then one after another, nine sons died. And he was lamenting every time he would come and lament in front of the palace. And Arjuna, so at this point when the ninth son died, Arjuna was there and he was hearing the lamentation. So he asked him, "What happened?" And he said, the Brahmana said, that this is happening. And Arjuna said, "Okay, I'm neither Lord Sankarshan, nor Lord Krishna, nor even Krishna's son. But I'm going to, the next time your wife is about to give birth, I will come and protect your son and nothing will happen to him." So when the wife was about to give birth, Arjuna went there because the Brahmana came and said, please come and protect my child from death." So Arjuna actually, he made a barricade around the house With his arrows, he made like an he shot arrows which were attached to various missiles, and he constructed a protected cage of arrows covering the house upwards, downwards, and sideways. And then the Brahmana's wife gave birth, and the boy cried for a few moments, and boom, he suddenly vanished into the sky in his self same body. So now the Brahmana was much more angrier. He's like telling her, oh, actually Arjuna promised him that if I'm not able to save your son, I'm going to enter fire, because I'm going to atone for my sin of not being able to protect your son, and my promise that not able to fulfill my promise, I will enter fire. So here then the child died, disappeared, and the Brahmana was saying, just see how foolish I was to put my faith in the bragging of a eunuch. That's another pastime in which Arjuna went, you know, during his 14 years of exile, one of the years he was a eunuch. So the Brahmana says, to hell with that liar Arjuna, to hell with that braggart's bow. He's so foolish that he has deluded himself into thinking he can bring back a person whom destiny has taken away. So Arjuna, he was so powerful that he went to the city of Agni, of Soma, that is the moon planet, Vayu, Varuna, and he had all his weapons and he searched all over the subterranean planets to the roof of the heaven. Finally, not having found Brahmana's son anywhere, Arjuna decided to enter the sacred fire, having failed to keep his promise. But just as he was about to do so, Lord Krishna stopped him and said, okay, I'll show you the sons of the Brahmana. So then here is this beautiful description of Lord Krishna and Arjuna going to see Mahavishnu. It's a very beautiful description, so I thought we'll just read some. Arjuna joined the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and together they set off towards the west. The Lord's chariot passed over the seven islands of the middle universe. Then it crossed the Loka-Loka boundary and entered the vast region of total darkness. In that darkness, the chariot's horses lost their way. Seeing them in this condition, Lord Krishna, the supreme master of all masters of yoga, sent his Sudarshan Chakra before the chariot. That disc shone like thousands of suns. And so they are going along with the help of the Sudarshan Chakra, blazing effulgence. And then they entered a body of water resplendent with huge waves being churned by a mighty wind. Within that ocean, Arjuna saw an amazing palace, more radiant than anything he had ever seen before. Its beauty was enhanced by thousands of ornamental pillars bedecked with brilliant gems. In that palace was the huge, awe-inspiring serpent Anantasesh. He shone brilliantly with the radiance emanating from the gems on his thousands of hoods and reflecting from twice as many fearsome eyes. He resembled white Mount Kailash, and his tongues and necks were dark blue. And then Arjuna saw the omnipresent and omnipotent Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu, sitting at ease on the serpent bed. His bluish complexion was the color of a dense rain cloud. He wore a beautiful yellow garment. His face looked charming. His broad eyes were most attractive, and he had eight long, handsome arms. His profuse locks of hair were bathed on all sides in the brilliance reflected from the clusters of precious jewels decorating his crown and earrings. And he wore the Kasuba gem, the mark of Shri Vatsa, and a garland of forest flowers. It's more description of Mahavishnu. But in the purport, Shri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that he's saying, so among the three Purushas, the Gunavatar, Shirodakshai Vishnu is the supreme. Greater than him is Mahavishnu, who is the creator of Mahatattva. And greater than him is Lord Purushottam, Vishnu in Vaikuntha. So now that they came in front of Mahavishnu, Krishna and Arjuna, So first of all, Krishna offered homage to himself in this boundless form, and Arjuna, astonished at the sight of Lord Mahavishnu, bowed down as well. Then the two of them stood before him with joined palms, and then Mahavishnu smiled. It's very, whenever Krishna or his incarnation smile, it's also very, there's a reason why they're smiling. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, there is that Krishna smiles, and then there is description by Srila Prabhupada that he's smiling, but he's actually being sarcastic with Arjuna at one point. He says, you are thinking of yourself as so learned, so there is a reason why Krishna is smiling. And he's saying, oh, you think you are so learned, but you are actually a fool. So Krishna smiles then. And here Mahavishnu is smiling, and he's the supreme master of all the rulers of the universe, and then he speaks the words which we heard today. So now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is such a confidential associate of the Lord, he is telling us what that smile meant. Mahavishnu is privately thinking, my dear Krishna, by your desire I will describe my superiority even though I am your expansion. At the same time, however, I will subtly imply in my statements the supreme position of your beauty, character and power, and the fact that you are the source from whom I emanate. Just see how clever I am, that in front of Arjuna, I am confidentially divulging my true identity as non-different from you. So Mahavishnu's smile indicates that his request that Krishna later revealed to Arjuna the truth about his actual position. So then comes the verse which was quoted today in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's actually text 58, that he brought the Brahmana's sons here because I wanted to see the two of you. And that Prabhupada says that Krishna, Mahavishnu was so attracted to Krishna that he wanted to... He was attracted by the bodily features of Krishna, and he actually stole the sons of the Brahmana so that Krishna and Arjuna would come and visit him. So further in the verses here in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is actually speaking more about what Arjuna is thinking once he sees Mahavishnu, and then Krishna further explains this pastime to him. So we'll get into that subject. And so Krishna, now Arjuna has seen this domain of Lord Vishnu, he is totally amazed. He concluded that whatever extraordinary power a person exhibits can only be a manifestation of Sri Krishna's mercy. And here in the purport, Arjuna is saying more details by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Arjuna says, just see, even though I am a mere mortal, by Krishna's mercy I have seen the Supreme Godhead, the root cause of everything. And after a moment, Arjuna thought again, but why did Lord Vishnu say that he took away the Brahmana's children out of a desire to see Krishna? Why would the Supreme Personality of Godhead hanker to see his own expansion? So Arjuna is confused. Perhaps it's some temporary whim of his. And he goes into the semantics of what Mahavishnu said, and he says, it has to be concluded that he has always desired to see Krishna and myself. Even granted that this is so, why couldn't he simply see Krishna at Dwarka? After all, Mahavishnu is all-pervading creator of the universe. Is it that he could not see Krishna in Dwarka because Krishna does not allow anyone to see him without his special sanction? Well, maybe he doesn't have that power, but still he comes to Dwarka every year to steal the Brahmana's child. Why does he not at that time see Krishna, who is visible even to the oil seller and the betel nut peddler living there? Well, perhaps he could not see Krishna in Dwarka because Krishna cannot be seen without Krishna's desiring it. So in that going back and forth in his mind, Arjuna it became clear that Krishna's status of Godhead is superior to Lord Mahavishnu's. And then Arjuna asks Krishna, is this actually the matter, that you are actually superior to Mahavishnu? So in Hari Vamsa it's described that Krishna tells Arjuna, it was to see me that he, the Supreme Soul, Mahavishnu, stole the children. He believed only on a Brahmana's behalf will Krishna come to see me, not otherwise. And then Krishna further tells Arjuna, but I did not go there, however, for the Brahmana's sake. I went there, my friend, just to save your life. So Krishna is Bhaktavatsa, and he was seeing that Arjuna was about to enter fire. So Krishna says, just to save your life. If it had been for the Brahmana's sake that I traveled to Vaikuntha, I would have done so after his first child was abducted. The reason I went after the ninth child was stolen was not from obligation to Vishnu, but out of obligation to you. Thus, hearing the full truth from Krishna's mouth, Arjuna thought that whatever prowess is possessed by any person, even including the Lord of the spiritual sky, Mahavishnu, has been obtained only by the mercy of Krishna. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says in the end, in this way we should understand that in this last portion of the 10th canto, the supreme position of Krishna, the Ashraya Tattva, who is the subject of 10th canto, and Krishna is the supreme a person in which we should all place our, we should all surrender to him. And that even though it was, so Arjuna had not yet seen the universal form of the Lord because the battle of Kurukshetra had not yet happened, but he was able to, he went with Krishna and he was able to see how Krishna was able to take him all the way to the place where Mahavishnu was residing. So from this elaborate pastime, we see that Krishna is actually the sarva avatari. He's the avatari, he's the source of incarnation of all of the incarnations. And this has also been discussed in this particular chapter in the talks between Ramanarayan and Lord Chaitanya. And we see how Ramanarayan is just kind of developing more and more on that thread, that Krishna's position is the most supreme. And so I'll just read this last verse again. I wanted to see both of you, and therefore I have brought the sons of the Brahmana here. Both of you have appeared in the material world to re-establish religious principles, and you have both appeared here with all your potencies. After killing all the demons, please quickly return to the spiritual world. Thank you so much. If you all have any questions or comments, please sir. Yes, Madan Mohan Prabhu.
I had three comments, is that all right?
Three.
Sure. Well, I was thinking when Krishna has four qualities that even Vishnu doesn't have, and one of those qualities is his beauty. So you were talking about Krishna being all attractive. So his beauty, they say that there isn't anything, anyone that can compare to Krishna's beauty. So that was the one aspect that was all attractive. Okay. And then I was thinking also that anything that we see that's attractive, that's an aspect of Krishna. Just
right.
The purity, the taste of water, the sun. Krishna claims that the ability in man, so anything that you're attracted to, if you put a little bit of Sankhya, I guess, you could connect it to Krishna and see that that's actually Krishna. And then as that matures, it turns into an udipan, a stimulation for remembering Krishna like that. That you see that actually everything that's attractive, and that's because the nitya siddha Krishna praying, because that's our nature, is to love Krishna. So everything we're attracted to, that's also Krishna. And then when the last one was... you talk about Bhrigu, who kicked Vishnu, but then we think about if that's the quality that Bhrigu was looking for, how he didn't get affected. But then when you see Krishna with Putana, not only did he not get affected, but he promoted her to a position in the spiritual world and liberated her. She didn't come just to kick him, she came to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But then you think about Jaghai Mahai, who didn't just kick him, he threw a clay pot on Lord Nityananda's head. So that's certainly offensive. And he not only, he didn't kill him. He liberated him, gave him a position of a devotee. Mm. So then when you compare, you keep the storyline going, you know, from the Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, Krishna. I don't know, it seems like Lord Nityananda, he's really, it was just his birthday the other day, so I'm still thinking of that. All right, so that was my comment.
So you're saying Lord Nityananda is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna?
He not only didn't get upset, but he gave him love of God,
mm-hmm.
gave him prema bhakti for breaking his head with a pot, you know.
Yes, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. Lord Chaitanya, because of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, so many of us, so many in the Kali Yuga are able to actually get even a trace of an understanding of the love of God or this. Yes, thank you for that.
So of course you have to relate that that's under the influence because of Radharani's influence on Krishna and Lord Nityananda's serving Lord Chaitanya, who's under the mood of Radharani, so ultimately I think it goes to Radharani.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Bless you, Devi.
I was thinking how this idea that all opulence in man comes from Krishna is, that's the proper sambandha gyan for us. To curb pride, which is so easily, manifested in the conditioned state. So if we have some opulence, it's so easy to be proud of it, but actually the proper sambandha gyan is to always remember that if we have any strength or opulence, it's coming from Krishna.
Right. Yes, actually, this is, you know, I've been given class on this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita for many weeks now. I think it's been a few months and we have done only a few verses. And I mentioned this a couple of times before that whatever little opulence we have, we need to see it's actually coming from Krishna, because as soon as we think it's me, that'll be our downfall. And more opportunity for us to remember Krishna by every time we see that, I'm able to chant so nicely, or I'm able to cook so nicely, immediately think this is coming from Krishna. Or I have a little fame, but that's actually, Krishna is the one who's providing me this little fame, because Krishna is all famous. Yes, we always keep that in mind, then as aspiring bhaktas, we can actually become very Krishna conscious. That is our key to becoming Krishna conscious, by connecting whatever we have, connecting it to Krishna and the source. Krishna is the source of all of that, all of our abilities. And then, actually, last year, I think I was doing a teacher training course with Mother Lakshmimoni. I think I mentioned this once before. And we were supposed to give a half an hour presentation on a particular topic, and in which it had to have all kinds of, it had to have some feature in which people would do something with their hands, they would have a discussion, group discussion. So we had to, like, you know, have all of the participants very much engaged in our presentation. So I chose Krishna, seeing Krishna everywhere. And it was so sweet because I was able to research all of these verses where Krishna, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, I'm the taste of water, I am the light of the sun, I'm the light of the moon. So yeah, we can actually see Krishna everywhere, and we can actually be so Krishna conscious in everything we do. And eating a fruit juice, the juice, Krishna says, I become the juice, and, you know, enter into the fruit, enter into the vegetables with the moonlight, he gives the juice. So yeah, everything we do and everything we think about also, we can see Krishna is in everything. Yes, thank you so much for bringing us back to that point, Mother Mahindrani.
Two things. One is, somewhere, maybe an initiation lecture, Prabhupada says, chant 16 rounds on beads and numerous other rounds off of beads.
Uh-huh.
So when you mentioned the driving, chanting while driving, I was thinking, well, that numerous rounds off beads can come When we're driving, we can chant. When we're doing anything, we can chant.
Yes.
And then there's a nice story that shows Krishna being attracted to himself.
Mm.
There's one in Dwarka, but there's one that happens in Vrindavan also, that one day in the palace of Nanda Maharaj, toddler Krishna was walking by and saw his reflection in one of the pillars. Huh. And he thought this, he was completely enchanted, wondering who is this exquisitely beautiful boy, and he had a great desire to become friends with the boy, so he started talking to him and saying, "Oh, my dear friend, or my dear boy, can you become my friend? My mother gives me so many nice jewels and clothes. I will share it with you, and you can share some things with me. And she cooks so many wonderful preparations. I will give you some, and you can share things with me, and I'll tell you my secrets. I steal butter from the houses of the other residents, of the other people that live in Vrindavan, and you can tell me your secrets too." And that this was, Rupa Goswami was seeing this pastime in his heart, and then he wrote that pretty lachanam verse.
Very good. Another pastime you said in Dwarka, can you share that pastime? The one in Dwarka?
I don't know if I know all the details of it, but it was similar where Krishna is walking by, but obviously adult Krishna, and he sees his reflection in the pillar and becomes enchanted.
Mm.
And then I know, he was exhibiting all the symptoms of being enchanted, and then behind him came one of his wives and some of his ministers, and they were, I don't remember the details exactly, but basically he asked them, they must have asked him something, and then they said, "But my lord, this is, now you understand, this is what we are experiencing all the time, seeing your beauty."
Mm.
It's not told too well, but that's the general idea.
No, thank you. That was amazing. Thank you so much. That was very sweet. Yeah, I really didn't go into the part where Krishna says I'm attracted to myself. So thank you so much for saying that, telling that story. So Rupa Goswami's Priti Lakshanam is the name of the book?
No, Priti Lakshanam of the verse, it's one of the verses of
Nectar of Instruction.
Six exchanges of love between devotees.
Yes, Priti Lakshanam comes there.
Yes, you give exchange of Shalini, you confidentially exchange. It came from that passage. Krishna, everything actually that we do, Krishna does in Rupa Vrindavan. So that's what he was having when he was demonstrating loving exchanges between persons by wanting to exchange with that reflection of himself.
Mm.
This is a last point or two. I was thinking of making it personal in the sense that when you start seeing all the things that Krishna does, you know, that you're seeing all these things, you add the element of what kind of person does this? Like in Sri Shapanishad, the self-sufficient philosopher who's fulfilling everyone's desires since time immemorial, who does something like that? Just to invoke also your feeling. Because I like puns sometimes, so I say through appreciation one can experience Krishna's presence. Mm. But I wasn't sure how to spell presence. It's two different ways. That's the pun.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Jai. Grandhashi Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Premanandi.